This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Noel and Philip. So we are taking a look now at the property sector, the local property market, which has already been in the doldrums before the COVID crisis, has been dealt a double blow, badly hit by the pandemic with sales activities curtailed and Malaysians in general feeling less optimistic about their economic future. So will the new rules of the Malaysia My Second Home program, which we've been talking about on The Morning Run, will this further exacerbate this sector's sluggish performance? And can we expect recovery in the near future? For more on this, we are speaking now to Loong Kok Wen, Head of Regional Property Sector at RHB Investment Bank. Good morning, Kok Wen. So let's start with Malaysia My Second Home. Will the revised rules have any impact on the property market, do you think?
The objective of the new MM2H rules is to ensure the quality of foreigners and the potential economic benefits that this group of people bring. Without raising the bar, it will be unjustifiable for this normal quality foreigners to also enjoy the subsidies that the government is offering, such as petrol, sugar and gas. Now, the new MM2H rules are not expected to yield any positive driver to the local property market, given the much higher requirements now. But we also think that the potential negative impact should be quite limited. According to our Home Ministry, there are a total of 57,000 registered MM2H participants, of which 28,000 people are principals, with the balance being their dependents, and only about 10,000 of the principals have bought assets in Malaysia. That's over the past of so many years. So for some, they are not able to extend their stay in Malaysia given the new rulings. We think the potential disposal of properties will unlikely exert a significant downward pressure on property prices. After all, the property market has already been sluggish over the past 6 to 7 years. If at all, it should be only the high-end segment that will be affected, given the pricing threshold for foreigners to own properties in Malaysia.
What measures should the government introduce to attract more foreign investors to our property market?
Yeah, I think the government can revisit our RPGT regime as speculative buying of properties has been fairly minimal in recent years. This RPGT regime is not only for foreign investors, but also for local investors. There could be other measures apart from RPGT as well to revive the property market. Apart from owner-occupiers, we also need a healthy participation from investors also. Over the longer term, better economic growth prospects, stable political landscape and steady currency are among the important factors to instill confidence among the foreigners. I think with these elements, foreigners will naturally come back to our property market sooner or later.
Earnings season has just concluded. How did the property sector do in general?
Earnings were generally weak due to slow billings during the quarter as construction works were interrupted during the nationwide lockdown since June. But property sales momentum remained quite encouraging for most developers up to May as June saw the reimposition of MCO, right? I think the signing of SPAs was more aggressive in April and May as buyers had earlier expected the home ownership campaign to expire at end of May. But this campaign was later on extended until end of the year by the government. But anyway, during the lockdown period, we understand that the sales activities continued, although at a slower pace, as buyers were virtually signing such agreements. And on an aggregate basis, property sales were flat quarter on quarter, but it grew 114% year on year, given the low base last year when MCO 1.0 was implemented.
So then looking ahead to October, when we expect a budget 2022 to be tabled, what are your expectations? Could we see relaxation of lending guidelines by Bank Negara?
To be honest, I don't know, but I think the government, the priority for the government now is to revive the whole economy after being hit badly by the pandemic and several lockdowns, and also help the low income group and SMEs. Of course, I hope there will be some good news for the property market also. I believe REDA and many other stakeholders will share their wish list to the government like what they usually do every year. As for the relaxation of lending guidelines, I'm not that optimistic on this because banks have their reasons to be strict. And moreover, our interest rates are very low now. People who can really afford, they can take advantage of the current low interest rates and buy properties.
What is your call on the property sector, top picks and why?
I'm still having a neutral call for the sector. My topic is matrix concepts, given its consistent property sales, earnings and dividend delivery. Although we expect the July-September quarter to be hit, we think the earnings can pick up very fast as construction works will likely be accelerated from October onwards. The company has very solid balance sheet, and given the consistent cash flow from its township developments, dividend payout shouldn't be a problem.
Do you think consolidation will happen in this sector? And are conditions right for M&As now?
Well, I still think there's something... This is something possible given the cheap valuations for many property stocks at the moment. Privatization is also, you know, something to consider for many major shareholders, entrepreneurs, particularly those family-run small-cap developers that own, you know, valuable or strategically located land bank. For larger scale M&A, to be honest, I think, you know, the moves will need to be initiated or supported by the major insti shareholders like the big GLC funds. So anything is possible.
Kok Wen, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning. That was Loong Kok Wen, Head of Regional Property Sector at RHB Investment Bank, giving us the lay of the land on property.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the Bloomberg screen here. So her top pick was Matrix Concepts. There are about four analysts who cover this stock, three buys, one hold. This morning is trading about 206. There's a 12-month target price, about 221. So maybe we're looking at about 7% return potential.
That's right. And some of the other comments that may have caught your eye when she spoke just now, Philip.
Yeah, the M&A part was very interesting, where she was saying unlikely that there would be any consolidation. You know, we've seen consolidation happen before in this space. You know, classic one is the UEM Sunrise and EcoWorld. So really interesting to see whether these consolidations will be successful if they do take place.
Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.